Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto you from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing, congregation, from Psalter 266, God is King forever, let the nations tremble. Throned above the cherubim, by all the earth adored, he is great in Zion, high above all peoples. Praise him with fear, for holy is the Lord. Psalter 266, the three stanzas.
We will read from God's Holy Word, Psalm 72, but first the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Psalm 72. Give the king thy judgment, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountain shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the moon grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarsus and of the isles shall bring a present. The king of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Ye all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their souls from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made from him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like a Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen. And amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended.
Let us ask the Lord for his blessing upon our gathering. Almighty and eternal God, it is in the evening of this thy Sabbath day that we may be together in thy house of prayer, round about thy holy word and eternal testimony. Thou art the God of gods and the Lord of lords. We have heard it read out of the psalm that has been read, and thou reignest from shore to shore and unto the ends of the earth. Thy name is precious. Thou art the eternal God, and in thee in thee we live, move, and have our being. And without thee, Lord, we are nothing. But may it please thee yet in the evening of this thy holy day, that we may draw nigh to thee, and that thou would yet come and dwell within our hearts, that thou would grant a token for good, that thy Spirit may have work to do, and that thy holy and thy precious name may be glorified. Lord, it is that one-sided work of free grace, God all, man nothing, and then man has to lose the battle, so that they may realize that Christ hath performed a complete work, a perfect work, a work to save a sinner, and that he has done this for all his people that he has known from the stillness of eternity. Lord, we ask of thee for the spirit of prayer and of supplication, and that we may be given to have an eye to look upon thee, from whence cometh all our help. It is not of self. We are but frail creatures of the dust, and today we may be here, and tomorrow no more. But, Lord, thou knowest our days, and how long that we will abide here upon the earth. Oh, give yet that we may have a supplicating life, that we may become a beggar at the throne of grace, that thy holy and thy precious name may be honored, and that thy kingdom come and thy will be done. Lord, remember then each one in their individual ways. Thou knowest what goes on within each heart. Also in this week of preparatory, where each one must examine their own hearts, how stands the matter between the Lord and my soul. Lord, be merciful, be gracious, come yet and dwell among us, and that thy holy name may be glorified. Lord, remember then all the needs. Remember the beggars in grace who are all time and again laying at thy mercy seat, asking that thou would yet have mercy upon them. Lord, it is a beggarly life. It is a cry for mercy. It is a cry to the living God that thou would yet be mindful of such ones as we are. Lord, take reason out of thyself, and give yet that it all may redound to thy honor and to thy glory. Remember the whole congregation. Thou knowest the individual needs. Thou knowest also the secrets within each heart. Lord, grant them that they find a place to go and that it may be at thy footstool before thee. Remember then, Lord, all of our young people. Care for them, look upon them, give them to seek thee, not to seek the things of this world, but grant that their eyes are upon thee, the living God. Wilt thou, Lord, remember the needs and the cares in the congregation, but also in the denomination. Remember the two that have their birthday on this day. Care for them, uphold them, bless them, and grant what is needed day by day. Lord, our lives are in thy hand, and then without thee we can do nothing. Oh, take us for thine account. We know not when the day of death shall come. We know not when we shall exchange time with eternity. But give that we may be a prepared people for a prepared place. Help the widows and the widowers. Be nigh unto them. Care for them. Bless them. And uphold them day by day. Remember the handicapped, be thou nigh unto them, the orphans, Lord. Oh, that thou would yet take up their cause, and that thou would look upon them in thy mercy and in thy grace. Help then each one individually, and give that we look to thee for all our help. Lord, remember also the needs in the school. Thou alone can help. Be mindful of the school board. Give them wisdom, light, and understanding. Lord, wilt thou help them in all their ways. Remember the staff. Give unto them what they need. And look upon all the students. Could it be that thy word may be that may touch their hearts, and that they may one day say, come, and I will tell thee what the Lord had done to my soul. Lord, be mindful then of each one. Parents, in instructing their children, Lord, the great responsibility from the cradle on, oh, give unto them what they need, and light and wisdom from above. Care then for each one in their individual ways. Remember, Lord, also the students in the theological school. Grant unto them that their eyes are upon thee, and that thou would help them from day to day. And those who are speaking a word, assist them, and grant unto them what they need. Remember also student Braun, where tomorrow he will begin with treatment. Lord, thou knowest the outcome. Thou knowest the end from the beginning. Oh, look upon him and continue to grant thy presence near to him, where he may yet speak out of it, that thou hast been so mindful of him. Lord, help then in these ways. Many things we don't understand, we cannot comprehend, but one thing is sure, that thou never maketh an error with all the inhabitants of this earth. Oh, wilt thou then give courage unto him and to his wife, the family, in the serious condition that he is in. Lord, remember the labors on the mission field among Jews and Gentiles. Wilt thou gather thy people out of the east, the west, the north, the south, among them all, and that thou may work mightily and give thy grace in their hearts. Help those working and laboring in Bolivia. Grant unto them what they need, and Lord, give that there may be further evidences of thy work in that country and from one place to another. Lord, then there was a small beginning, and now it has spread out to different places. Oh, wilt thou yet work mightily with thy spirit, and that sons and daughters there may be born in Zion. Oh, care then for each one in their ways. We think of the vacant congregations. Lord, help the elders in reading sermons of our fathers. Oh, wilt thou be nigh to them and assist them and give them opening in drawing nigh unto thee. Lord, then all things are in thy hand. Be mindful of all of us, and grant unto us broken hearts and contrite spirits, that in this week that each one may be given to examine their own hearts, and how is the matter between the Lord and the soul. In this week of preparatory, that we may search our own hearts, not everyone else, but look unto ourselves, each one, and then grant, Lord, a token for good, a little encouragement in this Mesech here below, and grant that thy name in all these ways may be glorified. Help then the brothers of the consistory. Grant unto them what they need. Lord, the labors are many, then the burdens can be great, but help then each one individually in the catechizing of the young people. Lord, give yet ability to go forward. The brother reading a sermon in Noble Ford, help him and care for him. Give him what he needs. Bless them together. Work in the midst of them. Cause thy face to shine upon them. And grant the same unto us here, that we look not to man, but that we may look to thee, the living God. Lord, all things are in thy hand. When nothing happens by chance, but all according to thy divine providence. Also in our country, what is taking place, and the riots and the disturbances that are taking place. Lord, all things are in thy hand. Bring it all to naught, and give yet that there's respect for those who have been voted in. Make it then well, Lord. Be mindful of the government in Canada. Convert the leaders. Turn their hearts unto thee, that they do not desire to follow the ways of sin, but the ways according to thy holy word. Lord, make then all things well. What is impossible with man, that is possible by the Lord. Go, God of grace, make then all things well. Help him who is to bring thy word tonight. Lord, thou knowest all that is needed. Give yet opening in thy word, and then calling upon thy name, and that it may be an hour of thy good pleasure, and that Zion may yet rejoice in the living God, that they may receive a token for good. Lord, be nigh then to every one of us. Forgive our sins. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us continue our worship with the singing of Psalter 292 while your offerings will be received. Praise the Lord, for he is good, for his mercies ever sure. From eternity have stood, to eternity endure. Let his ransomed people raise songs to their Redeemer's praise. Psalter 292.
Thank you.
their congregation. In Psalm 72, we read, "He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust." When we read those words here in Psalm 72, then that points to something very special, because when we go on in this same chapter, then in verse 11, "Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. He shall deliver the needy from when he crieth, the poor also, and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and the needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight." What does that point to? When we read such strong words here in Psalm 72, that points to one who is a great ruler, that points to one that is caring for all the needs of his people over the length and breadth of the earth. It points to one that has more power than any human being, because he says, "Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, and all nations shall serve him." Then we also read something of that in our Psalters in 200. "Christ shall have dominion over land and sea." Thus, it is not a natural man that it is referring to. It is not referring to someone that has much power, but it is referring to an almighty God. And that we wish to consider tonight in our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 48. It's on page 85 in the back of the Psalter. Lord's Day 48, question 123. What is the second petition? The answer, "Thy kingdom come." That is, rule us also, rule us so by thy word and spirit, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee, preserve and increase thy church, destroy the works of the devil, and all violence which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels devised against thy holy word, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, wherein thou shalt be all in all. Thus far, the words of our catechism. Tonight, with God's help, we wish to consider the second petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." And then we see two different thoughts here in this question and answer. First of all, what is included in the word kingdom? And secondly, that these words speak of preservation. So, "Thy kingdom come." And then, first of all, the word, what's included in that word, kingdom. How far does it extend? Who does it cover? And how do we see the meaning of that word, kingdom? And then, secondly, that these words, "Thy kingdom come," they speak of preservation. That God preserves his own work, and especially in the hearts of sinners. In the past Lord's Day, then, we considered the first petition, of hallowing God's name. And when we had considered that, then we had heard something about that God's name must be kept holy, whether in prayer or in speaking. Thus, we all have a name, but the name of the Most High, and there are many, many names in Scripture pointing to the Most High God, then we must always use that in a very reverential way and in a respectful way, and thus to give glory in that first petition, hallowed be thy name. We all have a name, but then if that is mocked, that is nothing in comparison to even taking God's name in vain. And then when it says, hallowed be thy name, that is above all names here upon the earth. Now in the second petition, then it speaks about thy kingdom come. And when we read those words, thy kingdom come, then maybe a question comes up in the minds or hearts of different ones, and maybe especially our young people, that what is a kingdom? And who rules over a kingdom? Now, when we consider the Heidelberg Catechism and when it was written, and then if we go back further in Bible times, then the word kingdom was used often. Today we do not hear very often about a kingdom in a natural aspect. No. But when we think of a kingdom, that's a nation that is under the authority, and in those days it was of a king or a queen, a person that carried great authority, a person that gave laws, could even come to the point of dictating the laws that they wished to have enforced. Different in our day, of course, and how ruling takes place. But then when we talk about a kingdom and you think of a king or a queen, and in our times you think of different names of the leaders of the nations, then when we consider that, then we have to think about those laws must be obeyed. If we go back into history and then we see that a king or a queen reigned and they enforced those laws, well, we have the same thing today with the leaders of the nations and the rules that they make. Then when they are according to God's word, then we have to obey them and follow them in our civil life or in our natural life and how we go about it day by day. Now, also with that word kingdom in the English language, then it can speak of the animal kingdom. They speak of a plant kingdom. They speak of that it is in a different sense that it's used. But we must also remember the most important part, that God is a sovereign. His kingdom is reigned as a sovereign, and that his kingdom is eternal, it's spiritual, and God, the God of gods and the Lord of lords, he reigns and he rules over that kingdom. Does that mean that then the Lord does not rule over the kingdom in a natural sense? No, it doesn't mean that. No. Then we speak of God's holy providence. And when we speak of God's holy providence, that can be God's providence in nature. That can be God's providence in grace. That can be God's providence in how things go day by day. In God's providence, maybe many things take place in life and we would just throw up our hands and say, well, I don't understand. But everything is ruled and reigned by an almighty God, and you and I have times that we do not comprehend it or understand it. Even if we take it in church life, things take place that we don't understand. Then when we consider that congregation, it's still in God's holy providence. Thus, when we think about what this petition says so clearly in Lord's Day 48, what is the second petition? Thy kingdom come. Now, when you hear that, what's the first thought that comes out in your mind? Thy kingdom come. We have the word thy. And in this reference, we find it in Scripture, of course. Thy kingdom come. That points only to the eternal God of heaven and of earth. Know that word thy in the Lord's Prayer, in this petition, does not point to any human being. It only points to the God of gods and the Lord of lords. That is the eternal God. How great is God? Well, the eternal God is so great that he fills heaven and earth. He is all-knowing, if we think of the attributes, another word for them, characteristics. If we think of the attributes of an almighty God, then he is the all-knowing God. He is the omnipresent God. He is in all places at one time. He sees and hears everything that takes place. He knows what goes on in the mind. He knows what takes place as we sit in church. God Almighty knows all things, and you and I cannot begin to comprehend what an almighty God is. And then we read in Scripture that God is so great. Psalm 24, who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of glory. Can we comprehend that congregation? No. Does Scripture teach us to comprehend it? No. So what does Scripture do? Scripture speaks of faith to believe it. And then time and again it can be in the heart. Yes, and even of the church of God over the length and breadth of the earth. Then it can be in their heart that atheist raises their head and said, no, you know better, there is no God. You must just go on and do your own thing and continue on in such a way. But the Lord is almighty. He is the King of kings. And to trust in him, to fear him, to love him, to adore him, are all gifts from above. There, we find it here. Thy kingdom come. So first of all there, then the word thy, that is pointing to an almighty God. Then when we read it as what is that thy kingdom come, well, there we can see what he says here, that is, rule us so by thy word and spirit that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. Psalm 119, it points out here, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. But the explainers of the catechism say that they're to rule us so by what? By thy word and spirit. That we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. There we have the word thee. We just had the word thy, pointing to the Almighty God. And that by His word and by His spirit, that He reigns and rules over all things. And that we may think of what that is pointing to. And then when it says here, thy kingdom come, then it is the kingdom of God's power. That He reigns and rules over every creature. Maybe some of these things we don't like to hear. Maybe we want to say, well, I am my own leader. I will do what I want to do. I will go where I want to go. And I will converse with who I want to talk to. But it is in that kingdom of God's power that the Lord created heaven and earth in 6 days. The kingdom of God's power that He sent the flood upon the earth in the time of Noah. And the kingdom of God's power that He had healed people, that He raised them from the dead, that He had spoken unto their hearts, that all lays in the kingdom of God's power. And who is covered by that? The wicked and the righteous congregation. Because all things are in His hand. And then when we think of the kingdom of God's power, then it goes on, the kingdom of God's word. Can we then submit ourselves to God's holy word? It's what the catechism says, thy word and spirit, that we may submit ourselves more and more to thee. What is that telling us? What is that really telling us? Submit ourselves more and more to thee. To live according to God's holy word. But some people say, yes, I try to live by God's holy word, but I got to live with my own intentions. I have to live with my own thoughts. I have to live with my own guidance. Congregation, that happens, but that's not right. May the Word of God and the Spirit of an Almighty God, may that be our guide. May He lead us into wisdom's ways. May He direct us according to His good pleasure. And thus the kingdom of God's Word that speaks to every one of us. And we speak of the kingdom of God's grace. You follow that? The kingdom of God's grace. That is the kingdom in which God rules when we pray, thy kingdom come. That the Lord would gather His people from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Yes, and then we read in Revelation of a great multitude. That's true. We read in God's word about a little flock. That also is true. But I have said it before to your congregation. Even when we read in Revelation that it shall be a number that no man can count, what's the important thing? What is the point that must be driven into us? Am I a member of that? Am I a member of that multitude that one day shall praise the Lord to an endless eternity? And I cannot be a member of that multitude without being part of the kingdom of grace, without being a part of that eternal kingdom, the council of peace, that an almighty God has taken a people for Himself. And then when it speaks about that kingdom, oh, then there is the beggars here upon the earth that are taught by His Spirit. And then they long, oh, that He may instruct me. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart. There in Almighty God, He comes and then He works in the heart. And the sinner cannot resist it. No, it is that sovereign work of grace. And because it's that sovereign work of grace, then I cannot resist it. And it's so good that we can't. If we could resist it, no person would be saved. I've mentioned here before, it's easier to stop the sun from rising than to stop the work of grace in the heart of a sinner. Why? Well, we heard something of it this morning, that God will not despise the work of His own hands. And that has to be driven home in our hearts, congregation. The kingdom of God's grace. And then there's another kingdom. Oh, we could mention maybe many. But the kingdom of glory. The kingdom of glory. That is where the true church of God will one day enter. And then Scripture tells us, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for them that love Him. It comes right back. Do you love the Lord? Or is that a stumbling block for us? Is that a way to say, well, no, I cannot go that way all the time? That kingdom of glory, that's for the true church of God. It says here, more and more to thee, preserve and increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil and all violence which would exalt itself against thee. What do we see in rule us? By thy word and spirit, and that we may submit. The kingdom of grace is often spoken of also as the kingdom of God. But there's another kingdom. There's the kingdom of darkness, and there's the kingdom of light. And how do I become a member of the kingdom of light? You heard that this morning. The marks that the Lord gives that take place in the heart of a sinner, and how God gives that. When we read that the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, oh, then we look in Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 18. It says here, verse 17 also, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Thus, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. By nature, we are all part of the kingdom of darkness. By nature in paradise, we have said goodbye to the Lord. But God Himself, the thy, the thee, in this catechism, that God Himself has made a way already before the foundation of the world, before that Adam and Eve were created and placed there, that God in eternity has taken people for Himself. That's such a wonder. And if the Lord plants grace in the soul, and he may increase that faith, and he may work within the soul more and more, then the more grace that God gives, the more they see what a sinner they are. And that's God's word. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Could speak about a kingdom of pollution, a kingdom of pride, a kingdom of the lust of the body. Speak about the kingdom of sinful actions, and that, of course, brings darkness upon a soul. But here he says that he says, rule us, and and more and more preserve and increase thy church. Destroy the works of the devil. What would they write then? Why would these two young men explain it in such a way that he says here, destroy the works of the devil? Because the devil is always active. The devil is always ongoing. The devil is always seeking whom he may devour and whom he could turn around, and all violence which would exalt itself against thee. Thus, then he says, rule us according to thy will. As it says, thy kingdom come. Till grace comes in the heart, congregation, then we cannot be part of the covenant of grace. Without the convicting work of the Spirit, there never can be the convicting light of grace in the soul. God gives the one against the other. Thus he gives in the heart that the covenant of grace. And when he gives that grace in the soul, then how do those people react? Oh, then we find that by the prophet Ezekiel. Then he says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? How strong scripture insist and shows that it's that one-sided work of God. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Who can do that? Thy kingdom come. That's the work of an almighty God, congregation. And that we read that. By nature, we don't desire that. By nature, we despise God, his word, and his spirit. But then, there is not submission. As it says here, so clear, to submit more and more to thee, to almighty God. We may have the means of grace. We may hear the proclamation of grace. We may realize that even on Pentecost, that grace was poured out, and people desire that they may have a crumb, a mustard seed of faith. And now when we read that, they may know these things and still no true saving grace in the soul. You say, how far can it go? How far can it go? We may hear it from Sabbath to Sabbath. We may be as faithful, and we must be, being in God's house, and still hearing what is necessary for a soul to receive, hearing it from week to week, remain dead in our soul. Then we need what Ezekiel had brought forth and what he has said in chapter 36. Think of Pharaoh. Yes, his heart was softened a bit, but God had hardened his heart that he would not let Israel go. Think of Judas Iscariot. Both of them talked about convictions were not true. And another thing we learned, reformation is not always regeneration. The difference is day and night. Can be reformed and changed. That's what it means to change. We can be reformed in life, in habits, and in ways. But if regeneration, the planting of the seed of grace in the soul, does not take place, we still are nothing. It has to be given by the Spirit. God's Word tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. And congregation, do we really believe it? True faith is a jewel. True faith is a grain of mustard seed. And true grace has its doubts and fears. Yeah. And now when we consider what the Word of God tells us, then there is in that true faith a searching in the heart. And what else? A desire after the Lord, in the exercise of that true faith, thy kingdom come, the kingdom of grace that is being spoken of right here, then there is a desire and they belong to only trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thy might. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge me. And then what? And I shall direct thy paths. If that last part wasn't there, then it would be yet short. But that the Lord may direct our paths, may direct our ways, may lead us in the right way, may give the true conviction, may give a mustard seed of true faith, and then to examine ourselves. With the coming of the Lord's Supper the next Sunday, the Lord willing, how do I stand before God? Thus, it is a searching ministry. This grace is a searching matter in the hearts. And then he goes on here. He says, would destroy the works of the devil and all violence, which would exalt itself against thee, and also all wicked counsels, devised against thy holy will, all wicked counsels. What is needed? What is, when we speak of preservation, what is really needed in the way of preservation referring to grace? You find that in 1 Peter 1 verse 5, kept by the power of God through faith. Does everyone born in Zion learn about being kept? Yes. And how do they learn it? Why do they learn it? Because they've been taught that they cannot stand on their own account. Then they will come short, congregation. Kept. Because Satan goes about as a roaring lion. And he desires to destroy even the work of God, which is impossible. God's people time and again feel that it is all nothing and that it will all come to naught. But what God had begun, he will perform. And what God had begun, he will carry out. And what God had begun, he will preserve it until the day of Jesus Christ. He will uphold that. Thus, how come that work can be upheld? The King of the church congregation. And it is only the King of the church that can uphold that little flock. It is only the King of the church that can preserve them and care for them through the work of his Holy Spirit in the heart of a sinner. Thus preserve and increase thy church. In one way that would point to that younger ones may be born again and may take the place of fathers that are in grace in the church. Thy kingdom come. Preserve and increase thy church. Also, it points to increase that grace that they have in their hearts. They long that the Lord would lead them a step further. That the Lord would take them, draw me, and I shall run after thee. And God will not forget this, the soul of his turtle dove, no. Because the smallest amount of grace is greater than all the things of the world put together. And that is that the God blesses and God upholds his church, Jew and Gentile. And another way we can see this, preserve and increase thy church. May it be among the boys and girls, the young people, that God will work with his Spirit in your hearts and that God would give you that token for good in your soul and that you may look to him for all your need. Thy kingdom come. What does that word come mean? That's what it says here. Thy kingdom come, which is scripture. And when we think of that word, that it may come by the preaching of the gospel congregation. The word of God is the only means to salvation. Do not neglect it, but it is the means that God gives. That it says, preserve and increase thy church among those who fear thy name, that the Lord may increase that mustard seed of true faith in the soul, and then come by true conversion. Come, turn away from the world. Convert, that be to be converted. Turn around and leave the things of time and sense. Come with true conversion, and that is faith, hope, and love. It says here, thy kingdom come, that it may come then in the heart by the leadings of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do without it, congregation. No, God works with his Spirit, the third person in the Holy Trinity, and then come by that perfect work of salvation. Not that I have done, that's what a sinner says, but Lord, what thou hast done, that thou hast paid the full price, and in that perfection that ends in glory, that the church may be delivered. It says, till the full perfection of thy kingdom take place. And then, when we think of that, the full perfection of thy kingdom take place, oh, then can we look back in our lives? And is there a moment, a time that you look back and you say, yes, there I know the Lord stopped me. There I know the Lord visited my soul. There I know that he became precious. for such a sinful creature as I. And thus it says, Thy kingdom come. God's kingdom comes by word and spirit in the heart of a sinner. And then that sinner longs, Lord, increase our faith. The disciples said that. And the disciples walked with the Lord. And they still had to say that. What else did the disciples say? Lord, teach us to pray. The more grace, the more humble. The more grace, the lower in the place that they take congregation. And then they don't end in self, but they only may end in Him. And thus, what He says here, devise against Thy holy word, till the full perfection of Thy kingdom take place, wherein Thou shalt be all in all. First, we need to sing Psalter 174. O all ye peoples, bless our God. Aloud proclaim His praise, who safely holds our soul in life and steadfast makes our ways. Thou, Lord, hast proved and tested us as silver tried by fire. Thy hand has made our burden great and thwarted our desire. Psalter 174. wherein thou shalt be all in all. And that those words refer us to 1 Corinthians 15, and it says, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised up, not up, if so be that the dead rise not. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Those words, congregation, that often man wants to think something of himself, but the scripture tells us that God must be all in all. And when it comes to those words, then there are really no words to explain the greatness of an almighty God. He who speaks and it is. He who commands and it stands for. And when that takes place, the church will be delivered. And Christ, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then he, with his whole church, will be body and soul to glorify and to honor his name. But congregation, I have a question. What will it be if we are not included in the church of God? Stop and think. What will it be if we are not included in the church of God? Then we cannot, as that text speaks about eternal glory that I have not seen, as we cannot answer that nor express it, we cannot express what it will be to have heard the way of truth, to have heard of that only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and then to go lost. Christ is all and in all. And there will be a remnant. As the times are dark in where we live now, the times are dark, congregation. But that does not mean that the work of God ceases. No. That does not mean that the work of God will not go on. Then we find it different in Scripture. Because it says that this gospel shall be preached over the whole earth, and then shall the end come. But how far that has gone already. And now to think of it, congregation, that we don't have the grace of God. And I can come, some will come back and say, yeah, but I cannot give it to myself. But then I say, do you do what Scripture says? Are you asking that the Lord would grant it to your soul? Are you a beggar before the Lord? Are you begging that you may yet be known of God himself? The Lord said today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Why did the Lord say today? Today, if you hear his voice. Why does Scripture say today? Because we do not know if we will be here tomorrow. Time is short. Eternity is sure. And today is the day to seek the Lord, that we may yet be given, that the Lord gives that grace in the heart, and that we may look to Him. We hear it from Sunday to Sunday, and it's heard in many places over the length and breadth of the earth. And then we find in Scripture, how shall ye escape if ye neglect so great salvation? Congregation, people like to talk about the end of time. People like to emphasize that, the last day will be at this time or that time. But then eternity comes. But now I want to change that. When is the last day? Think, boys and girls, young people, when is the last day? The last day is when the final breath leaves your nostril. And then your soul appears before the Lord. That's for that person the last day. And there will be a general judgment when Christ returns on the clouds to judge the quick and the dead. And then all the graves shall be opened. And then the whole church will stand on the right hand of the ever-blessed Lord. And those without a wedding garment will stand at the left. Take it to heart, congregation. On what side will you and I stand? We must search our hearts. And we even hear it out of Psalter 255. While He offers peace and pardon, let us hear His voice today. There are times, congregation, could it be every moment, my heart bleeds for every one of you. How long I will be here, I don't know. But how long will you be here? And then. What will it be, congregation? Oh, there is still place before you, the life and death, well and woe. And then, when we think about the time being short, then we read in Job 19 for the church, whom shall I see for myself? And mine eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Oh, for that people, there's no satisfaction here below. But here is a warfare that continues on. And they long to know Him and the power of His resurrection. They long to know that I am His and He is mine. Oh, that's the preciousness of Prince Emmanuel. That's the preciousness of the suffering Savior. That's the preciousness of Him that was born in Bethlehem. And now what we know of Him, then on the next Lord's Day, we hope to see the administration of the Lord's Supper. And those that may have something of what they have heard in this morning and evening and what you hear from this pulpit, then you are invited to come to the table of the Lord. May God be in the midst of us. May He quicken the hearts that are sleeping, that He may make alive those who are dead, and that He may encourage His church, His people, and that they may see something of Him whom their soul loves, that they may see something of Him who is altogether lovely, the chief among 10,000. Amen. Lord, we come to Thee at the end of this hour and the end of this Sabbath day. Lord, we are all gathered together, and it is thy name that we desire to bring. Thy name is everything. Thou art the Almighty God. Thou art the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Remember the whole congregation. Give a longing in the hearts of thy people for the next Sabbath day, if it may be thy holy will. And grant, Lord, that thou would yet reign and rule in each one of our hearts. Convert the unconverted. Touch their hearts with the power of thy word and spirit. Lord, protect each one in this week. Bless the labors of each one's hands. Protect all in the home and by the way. Forgive the streams of our sins. And may we yet have a grateful heart to help us through this day. It is all in thy hand. We ask this only in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us conclude with Psalter 351. We hope, the Lord willing, to have a midweek service Thursday evening at 7:30. 351, to thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes. O thou enthroned above the skies, as servants watch their master's hand, or maidens by their mistress stand, so to the Lord our eyes we raise, until his mercy he displays. To thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes, O thou enthroned above the skies. 351, the two stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.